up is something very personal. Sometimes they are very things that we don't want to look at, and sometimes very painful stuff, so sometimes very joyful things. But you need a focus and a kind of special mercy to even receive what's been given, and the person who's giving to become the true instrument. And it's hard because I'm not a very advanced devotee. So when I do this and I'm talking, I'm parallelly processing my own things as I'm presenting. So I have to be very present. And so when we collectively, become very prayerful and we show Krishna that, we are here with a very clear intention, and the intention as a group intention is that we really want to always remember him and we don't want to forget him. And this is one of the process how to do that. So it's very, even though it's interactive, we may laugh and we are casual, but the deeper intention is very serious, and something is very relevant for all of us. So if I'm completely fine if there is only 1 or 10 people in the room, but whoever is there, I would appreciate if you're here and not somewhere else and doing feeling something else. And children are more than welcome to be part of this session. They're cute. They can be distracting. They can be in that corner there as long as they're not loud and, disturbing. Because the reason in most of my sessions I'm very open to children being in the room is because the mothers, they miss out on a lot of lectures and classes, which I think is fine because their main service is to take care of the child. I was a mother. I'm a mother too. Not long ago, I had a young child. But in these sessions, whatever we are learning, actually, our children are actually, I feel like they are the recipient of all our inability to be the kind of mother or father we want to be. So it's very important, and it would be nice for those young mother and fathers to be in this room to see how they can be a better mother and a better moms. So moms and dads. So that's why I don't have any issue children being in the room. But if they want to run and play, we should not stop them from that because that's their natural propensity. So it's better that they're given the space to be themselves and then doing shh, 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 it's not fair. But if they can be here, no problem. Hey, you're choosing to be here or here because I said shoot. You're choosing to be here? No, I just before the session she said, she was not very sure if she can be here because she has something else to take care of, and I jokingly told her, you should be here, So that's why I'm asking her if she's choosing to be here or she's here because I told you should. We'll start with the kirtan.
Mama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Before we start this session, is everyone comfortable? Relaxed? Let's just close our eyes and let's offer a prayer of gratitude. It's not by fluke that we are here in this process or in this room today or this weekend here. There's a purpose, and that purpose is Krishna really loves us and he really wants us to go back to him, be with him. He's missing us a lot. And hopefully through this, what we've been hearing this whole weekend and every day in our lives, that's our intention and that's the purpose of our life, that hopefully in this lifetime, by mercy of our merciful spiritual masters and masters, we'll go back to him and be rid of all this conditioning and genuinely enjoy the association of all these wonderful devotees that we keep hearing about. My dear Kishore Kishori, my dear Krishna, thank you so much that today for me to be here to take care of my needs, my need to remember you, my need to understand how I can remember you. There are all these wonderful devotees behind the scene who took care of so many things, cooking, cleaning, making arrangements for me to be here in this room so I can hear all those wonderful lectures, this presentation, and be part of all those wonderful kirtans. I would like to express my heartfelt feeling of gratitude for the sacrifices that these devotees have put so that I can be here and I can reconnect with Krishna. Thank you, my dear Krishna. Thank you, Badahari Prabhu, for giving this beautiful melody. It just, you know, melodies, what kind of melody you sing, it has a certain effect on your heart and the mood. And this particular melody, it just makes it so easy to reach out, to call out to Krishna for his mercy, for his kindness. So wherever you are, Badahari Prabhu, thank you so much. Last but not least, thank you, Maharaj, for constantly, tirelessly traveling and giving us these wonderful retreats and seminars. Sometimes I don't appreciate, because when you're in the organization of things, you kind of get overwhelmed. But you're tireless and you constantly bring us back our focus to Krishna. Thank you for the unlimited sacrifices and constantly thinking about our welfare. Thank you so much for making all this happen. We all pray at the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, unto Krishna and Srimati Radharani, that whatever we learned during this weekend, we'll be able to process it, integrate that into our system, and we'll be able to apply. Because no tool, no technique can be effective if Krishna's descending mercy was not there, or if Krishna's sanction is not there. So please open my heart. Let my heart be open to receive that mercy. Take a few seconds to just absorb this prayer, this appeal to Krishna, and then we'll start our session. Okay. It's helpful because we had a long weekend and this is the last session. So it's kind of, I had to do this to bring myself actually. It's been a difficult morning for me. So I had to really bring myself to do this. And I'm very grateful to all of you that it's very encouraging that you all are here for the second part two session. There are some devotees who are in this room who were not there for part one. So we'll quickly, and it also helps to review quickly what we did because we had 48 hours gap and we've been hearing a lot and processing a lot. Does anybody remember, is the microphone there too? Okay. Does anybody remember how Rosenberg, why did we choose, how is nonviolent communication related to the topic that we are doing today or this weekend? Does anybody remember what the connection is? Don't be shy. Even if you don't know, I can answer if you've forgotten. Okay.
Nonviolent. What's the phrase called? Nonviolent communication.
And what's the connection?
Yeah. It's relevant to what we're doing, to remembering Krishna, because it starts from within. It starts from the self. And we create these blocks within us, and our blocks inhibit us to be able to connect with Krishna in a deep way, because we're constantly battling ourselves. So if we take the time to fix ourselves, then we can really wholeheartedly be with Krishna.
Great. You said it much better than I did.
I try. I don't know.
Rita?
I remember the quote that you had on the board saying, like, if we can't see the beauty in ourselves, then we can't see that we lose our connection with the divine energy. Yes. And he said divine energy, but we take it as Krishna.
Krishna. Yeah. So the definition. So Rosenberg defines violent means. No, the previous one. Yeah. Anybody wants to read that? You can read, Giridhari.
If violent means acting in ways that result in hurt or harm, then much of how we communicate could indeed be called violent communication.
We can skip the third and the fourth slide. And then we talked something about the specialness that we all have. Does anybody remember what that means? No? Are you being shy? Generally, the way Krishna has created all of us, we all are very unique, we are very special, but because of our experiences, and the social interactions makes us feel that we are something less than that. Those are the blocks. So when we lose that, what happens is we lose who we are in our connection with Krishna. So that's the next slide. When critical self-concepts prevent us from seeing the beauty in ourselves, We lose connection with the divine energy that is our source. That's the point Shweta was making. We get conditioned to view ourselves as objects full of shortcomings. So what happens, like, when we are evaluate ourselves, then being less than perfect? Does anybody remember that? Does anybody? Yeah, Anandrada.
We get into the feelings of shame and guilt and consider ourselves full of faults.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when we do those things and whatever actions we take, are those actions full of joy and are they free actions or... Yes, so those actions are not joyful. So even if we think externally we are doing the right things, internally, we are not feeling happy. We are not feeling joyful because the energy, the purpose behind the the reasoning behind doing those acts is not coming from a place of something that we are not thinking that, oh, if I do this, I'm actually contributing to my growth. I'm contributing to life. But we are acting from, when we are acting from shame, guilt, depression, whatever the reasons are, we don't feel the joy, even though externally it may seem that we are doing the right thing. We can go to the next slide. And then we talked about the most violent word according to Rosenberg, and that is should. And do you still have the list that you wrote the first person I told, write down all the activities where you feel that you should do these activities and you feel that there is no choice to make? If you don't have, if you have not written that or if you were not present, while I'm going through this, you can, just raise your hands and he will give you the, because we are going to be doing an exercise with all those, with that list today. Yeah, but the first part was not the judgment. Remember when I said the first list that I asked was, didn't I ask that you make a list of all the things that you do where you feel that you should be doing it? Oh, I didn't. Oh, I'm so sorry. Then that means you all have to pause here and write that list. Or we can do it later so we don't get distracted with what we covered last week, and then I'll give you time to do the list. Oh, sorry. I thought I did. Mm-mm. No, list of I do this because I'm supposed, I chant my rounds because I should be chanting my rounds. I should be here, I hear lectures because I should be hearing lectures. I'm just giving, you know, I go through that phase sometimes. I don't feel like chanting, but I say, I should chant because I took a vow, you know, and that's not wrong, but if you, the moment you hear a should and you address the should, you understand that what is the underlying need or what's happening. So that's why it's easy. So then we talked about translating self-judgments and inner demands. Does anybody know what we talked about that? It's something about harmony. You don't remember? No problem. We don't have to feel shame or guilty for not remembering. Really, because what I'm presenting is something we are not really tuned to. The language is different and the concepts are different. So we are not expected to remember everything. You can look into your notes if you have. Sure. Hold on. Because not
self-judgments are tragic expressions of unmet needs.
Yeah. You can show the slide.
Yeah, that's true.
So whenever we imply that someone is wrong or bad, what we really are saying is that he or she is not acting in harmony with our needs. So, and we see that in our interactions, right? We are in a conversation and we want a certain kind of a result because that's what we want and that's what our need. And but the other person says or does something which you, it doesn't go with your needs or you, and that's when we say or do things to either hurt the other person or we hurt ourselves because we are not in harmony. You can go with the other difference. So we do this with ourselves too, because we have a pattern and sometimes we react or we do things that we know it's not beneficial for us. And yet we keep putting ourselves in the same situation or, and then what we are doing is even though we know that the way we are talking or we are behaving is not in harmony with what we actually want, but we still do it. So we are in actually conflict with ourselves. That's when we beat up, we shame ourselves, we feel guilty, we feel depressed. You know, all those negative feelings come. So Marshall says, self-judgments, like all other judgments, are tragic expressions of unmet needs. Jamunajeevan Prabhu, you have your paper and a pencil and all that? Okay, okay. So then he starts with this whole process called, like, you know, Marshall gives this call, mourning. Basically, does anybody remember the definition of mourning? Okay, you can put it, so. Connecting with the feelings and unmet needs stimulated by past action we now regret. Vamsidhari Prabhu, where is he? Is he here? Oh, he just went out. Okay. Do you remember we were discussing something and I said when I bring this up, I should... He and I were in a conversation before the presentation. My memory. I'm not going to shame myself. Okay, we'll wait till Vamsidhari comes. He may remember. Yes. I recollect now, I hope. So we were talking... In the present, today we are Krishna conscious. We are here. It was a journey that brought us here. But before we came here, even before we met devotees and became devotees, we had many experiences in our life. And we had to make certain, we had to make certain decisions and we took certain actions, like, you know, or we said things and did things to others or to ourselves that really we don't, that had some not very pleasant memories, or sometimes they're deep scars and we have not really healed. So to be here today and to be totally present in our relationship with Krishna, we first need to heal the past. So that's what the process of mourning is, that you need to first, you know, understand what were those unmet needs or values that you didn't really pause and heal and, you know, address. But you have come all this way, but Krishna really wants you to address, because those are the blocks, those are the obstacles which prevent us from remembering Krishna. So then we talked about the self-judgments, because not self-judgment. So mourning is an experience of regret, but regret that helps us learn from what we have done without blaming or hurting ourselves. So if any action, if it's, you still feel like you're blaming and attacking yourself, then you're not in the process of mourning, because you're again in the block of that, in a space of self-judgments. This is very important. This is a very important thing to remember. When our consciousness is focused on what we need, we are naturally stimulated towards creative possibilities for how to get that need met. So somebody, after the first session, somebody met me and she asked me the question, how do I know? The question was, when do you know? When do you understand something is your cup of tea or not? Like, oh, this is not where I should be saying this. No, sorry. My mind is racing. I'm looking at the time. And so then we talked about self-forgiveness. Along with recognizing or mourning, we have to be forgiving. We have to be forgiving that we made those mistakes in our past. And when we listen empathically to ourselves, we'll be able to hear the underlying need. Unless we don't do that, and this is the beginning part of the healing process, And self-forgiveness occurs the moment this empathic connection is made. This is very important. And then we talked about, on one hand, we have to learn to hold the mistake we did, the regret that we have. And the present, like, you know, an important aspect of self-compassion is to able to emphatically hold both parts of ourselves, the self that regrets a past action and the self that took the action in the first place. When we decide that, oh, I want to now address this. While doing that, I don't reject my past or, you know, evaluate or judge my past action. You hold both those feelings together. The moment you do that, you actually feel very comfortable with the mistake and automatically you are going towards solution. You're going towards coming up with creative possibilities to address these issues. So then we had this flowchart. And the feedback I got was, let's give an example. You have that example too in your thing? So remember I gave you an example. Oh, before we did that, one of the participants gave me this quote, which I say, I heard this, but it was nice, and I promised that I'd share with the group. I made a mistake is not the same thing as I am the mistake. Did you get it? I made a mistake is not the same thing as I am a mistake. So, and in devotee language, we have heard it a little differently. Maharaj has said many times, you hate the sin, not the sinner. So there is this anartha. You can dislike the anartha, but not yourself for being the person who has the anartha. So then Christina had brought up this thing, you know, we talked about what if when you choose something and you realize that, you know, this is not something for me, what do I do? So we'll address that in more details today. I gave the example of Marshall, you know, how, you know, the example of he was doing a presentation. After the presentation, everybody wanted to, you know, take his information, his autograph. And he had bought actually a new suit, a gray suit for the presentation. And he didn't cap the pen, and he accidentally put the pen in his suit pocket. And there was a big polka dot on his suit. And he had to go to the next engagement. He had some other engagement after that. So at that very moment, for 20 minutes, he was self-attacking himself. How could I be so stupid? And how could I be so careless, you know? And then he realized, what am I doing? And then he went through this whole process that we did of mourning, like, you know, observation, self-judgment, current feelings. Then he went through the phase of empathy. And then he came to the phase where he held both the feelings together. So I used the same example. And so you can see. And yeah, I made a mistake in my previous printout. I forgot the two arrows coming from C and from D. Actually, this is what that means. Can you show the hand there? Are you still with me or you're lost? Everybody's with me? And who didn't attend part one, it's okay. We will be doing this more slowly. You know, the heart where, like, you know, the self that regrets a past action. Yeah. So basically, the self that regrets the past action is actually D. No, it's the C. And the self that took the action in the first place is the D block. And those, the two hands together is what E is. So are you able to connect the two slides? Okay. No, I'm very bad with this. Thanks to Shatarupa that I have something here. Krishna's arrangement, my son and my husband. and both were very busy, so they couldn't help me. So the first printout that I gave on that day was, somebody can distribute this. I can give some to the Matajis. And okay. You have that? Yeah. So Shravan Prabhu had suggested it would be nice to show an example how you go through this process. Do you have that, what I had put? No, Idi. Nenik Pambichan, you don't have it? You too. I've been given the feedback that please speak into the microphone, because who are online, they can't hear and they get frustrated. So they say, whoever talks, please give the microphone, they say. So while Shatarupa is putting together the example, you know, for you as a guidelines to do this activity, can, I think group of four or five, you know, can you all like make a circles and sit in groups? So because one of the feedback that I got was you wanted more group exercises. So we can do a group exercise with this. So you can show the whole thing. Yeah. My sisters in India are watching me. That makes me really nervous. But they are very loving. They are two of my older sister. I'm the youngest in the house. So they're looking at the baby sister doing something. They're super excited. So I have to make sure that my sisters are understanding what I'm doing here. And I think some of my cousins too. I don't know. Oh, okay. So there are these arrows. So I hope my sisters are not lost. It's 11:30 in the night for them. So we are actually, this I'm referring to the example of, did everybody follow the example of the polka dot, the pen going into the, he keeping the pen in the suit and suit getting destroyed? Giridhari, you were distributing, but did you get to, okay. He's my lone brahmachari from the ashram. So I'm making sure he understands. So the observation. So what was the act? The act was he put the uncapped pen in the pocket of his new suit. It ruined his suit. And then there was a judgment, self-judgment. How can I be so stupid? How can I be so careless? This is a self-attack he went through. Then he paused and he asked, what are the feelings? Feeling bad that he had ruined his brand new suit. And what was the need? To take better care of himself and to have given more attention to his own needs. So when he observed that, like, he was attacking himself, he asked the question, what are the feelings? The feeling is, man, I destroyed my brand new suit. And then when he said, okay, that's the feeling. So he went through the process. So that feeling, what need is it addressing? And the need was, I wanted some time for myself too. So then where D is empathy, he, what he, what, I was also told that last presentation I was getting up, walking, sitting, getting up, walking, so the camera was on the chair. So they could only hear my voice in the chair. So I had too many feedbacks coming, so it's distracting me from my presentation. So this valued care and consideration for other people's need is this, okay, the need. When this happened, this was the need. Okay? You're following me? I can go slow if you want to. Don't feel shy or hesitant to say, I'm not following. I can go slow. This is very important. If we can get this, I'll think that, like, you know, my presentation was successful. So that's why I want to go slow. So basically, 1, 2, 3 step is clear, right? So when you come to the point of empathy, you're going back to your past action, remember? So when you're going back to your past action, you need to ask yourself, when that event happened, what was the need I was actually trying to fulfill? And the need was, he likes to be compassionate. He wants to be caring towards other people. And that's not wrong. You know, he's not being selfish that, you know, I just want to focus on my own needs. He likes to help people. And like devotees, and I relate with this because as devotees, we want to extend to others. We want to be there for others. But at the same time, we have to learn to be there for ourselves too. So this example is very close to a practical example. Krishna said, why don't you give a practical example? I said, oh, this is good. This is relatable, like, you know, to devotee life, for a devotee. So then he felt when he did this, he realized that then he has to now hold the feeling that he got when he did what he did. And the beginning, whatever the feeling was, he held both those emotions. He felt a lot of compassion for himself. He felt good about himself. You know, why? Because he was able to respond in a caring way to other people's need. And also, he's now aware that he has a need. When people are coming to him, you know, want him to, like, you know, talk to him, and they want him to help, you know, what they're going through. He wants to do that, but now he's become aware that while I'm doing that, I have to be very conscious that I'm paying attention to my own need. And what was that need? Two things were happening. He had a next engagement to go to. So that was on his mind. And at the same time, like, you know, he realized that, I have my needs and I have to pay attention to my own needs. Self-compassion. So, is this clear? Is this example clear? So now you can be in your group. Yes. Wait, Jamuna Jeevan Prabhu, who has the microphone?
I think I get the example, although maybe this is a detail I'm struggling with, but because he put the uncapped pen in his pocket, that means he was disassociated from his own need?
He became, what was happening is that he was at that moment little overwhelmed because that day when I was telling the story, it was a little bit more elaborate.
Maybe I missed that part. Yeah.
So what happened is that he had a next engagement that he was getting late to. So, and there are these people after the presentation, they want to take his autograph, they want his email information, they want his contact information. They have some questions and he has this compassionate side that he understands that they want something from him and he wants to give. So he subconsciously was distracted or was overwhelmed with the feeling that I'm getting late for my next appointment. And at the same time, he was feeling the need to extend himself. So in that, we become absent for a few minutes, you know, we all go through that. And in that, after he was not paying attention to the pen that was in his hand, he mindlessly put it in his pocket. And that destroyed his suit. So what happened is, when he saw that, he said, man, how can I go like this for my next appointment? And this was a brand new suit. So he was very disturbed, you know. He paid all his money and, like, you know, it got destroyed. So at that time when he was like, how could you be so careless? Simple thing. You could have, like, you know, put a cap and put it. So he was beating himself, the self-judgment, how I'm stupid, I'm careless. And then he caught himself doing that. And then he paused and he said, when I'm calling myself stupid and I'm calling myself careless, that is a feeling. But the feelings are actually representing some need. And then when he asked what that need is, he realized that my need was, I need to take a pause and be little and take care of what I want too while I was extending. And what I wanted was to somewhere, you know, pause and say, you know, I'm extending, but at the same time I now need to leave to my next, because that's my need, because I need to take care of myself too. Sure. He kind of ignored his need to take care of others' need. So then he had to go back and see what was the original intention in, you know, what was the original need when that happened. And when that was to take care of people's need, that was what's happening, right? This and this are connected. And that is the empathy part, where you pause and you are self-compassionate and really looking at the circumstance. And then what he says is that it's okay to feel that, and hold this also together. It's not that you have to reject one over the other. Because this is also him, and this is also him. We all go through that. You know, a part of us wants to be there for others, a part of us wants to take care of ourselves. We don't have to reject either of them. The only thing is, if we can recognize what the need is here and what the need is there, and become self-aware, then and as we practice in every situation, all we need to do then is that Krishna will guide you. Like, you know, what can be done. We don't have to reject. You can hold this together. All he's saying is hold that together, because both are part of you. And you can be forgiving. It happens. So now when this similar situation happens, I know that I have my own needs and I should not neglect that while I'm extending myself. Is that clear?
Yeah, I get it. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. I have till what time? 10:32? 12? We are just doing part one still. Didn't go to part two. Quick.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. In this particular example, even if one were to be aware of their own needs and also recognizing the needs of others, my question is more related to priority. So sometimes we feel obliged to fulfill the needs of others or fulfilling our own needs first. So I'm just trying to understand the role of priority here.
Again, if you go through the process, you will know what the priority is. It's the same thing. The moment you follow these steps, you will know what the priority is. See, for instance, we may be in a... Like, we gave an example, I'll make it quick. Somebody who lives in a temple, you know, it's a choice they made. Somebody who's in a grihastha ashram, they made a choice they made. This is not related to your question, but I'm just... Maybe I'll not get there. I answered your question, I think. Because it will distract me. I'm getting distracted. Now I'm a little nervous and I have to get grounded now. Because I'm still doing part one, where I've not even started part two and I have only half an hour. Maharaj will be right here, right, at 12 o'clock? Yeah, he'll be sharp here at 12. Okay. So, translating have to from choose to, you know, the list I gave you, remember? Do we have time? Okay. Take 5 minutes to do this. You want to go and ask? Who has the courage to go and ask? You can go and ask. 12:30, ask him, can we do his session from 12:30 to 1:30? I don't know what his schedule looks like. And I'll wait for you to come. Thank you for being the brave one. You have all our support. Oh, man.
Now I'm trying to shorten the presentation.
Okay, you can go to the next slide. Okay. I'll talk to Giridhari. Don't do anything that is not a play. This is that question this devotee asked me. Where is the paper? Yeah. She asked, when do you understand something is your cup of tea or not? Or basically she said that, when do you know that what I'm doing is the right thing or I'm, you know, not? And what Marshall says is, don't do anything that is not a play. He uses it as a play. Whatever you do, it should be joyful. It should be, yeah, you can go to the next two slides we can go for. So Marshall says, in addition to mourning and self-forgiveness, another aspect of self-compassion is in the energy that's behind whatever actions we take. That's also very important. He didn't answer. Okay, we'll go. We'll send you again after some time. If he says anything, you can push it on me. So he says, in addition to the mourning phase and then the self-forgiveness, it is very important part of self-compassion is that we have to be very conscious what is the energy behind the actions we are taking. It is important to make choices motivated purely by our desire to contribute to life rather than out of fear, guilt, obligation. Because when we take any actions which is based on fear, guilt or obligation, we feel we don't have choice. We feel claustrophobic. We feel stuck. And that leads to another layer of anger, frustration, depression, blah, blah, blah. But whatever choice you make, if you're very conscious the energy or the purpose or the desire, then, and you understand that it's contributing to life, to growth, then you will not feel stuck. For instance, at least I can speak from my own life, it's happened. Taking up this service was not easy, like being here for 10 years almost, because our family needs were different than what the needs of the temple were. There were times when I felt stuck. There were times when I felt this is not what I want to do. But there was also this higher purpose that spiritual master wants us to do this. It took me many years, many, many years to understand and balance these two conflicting desires or need to serve Kisha, because I can't explain what it means to be serving Kishore Kishori so intimately. One has to be serving them to understand. They almost become part of your life and everything. It's like they're part of your family. Like you can't just abandon them and go, like, you know, unless they kick you out. But at the same time, I have a child and, you know, we have certain responsibilities. That's also important. So how do you balance this? And then I had to go back this all started with that struggle I was going through, my introduction to Rosenberg and all this healing process. And I had to go back to that, the first block the regret, the act. I regretted. I really, in 2008, I beat myself up. Why the heck did I say okay to being a full-time devotee? How stupid I, and, you know, I had a four-year-old son, you know, and he had so many friends. We were in a community. There were so many kids. And what was I thinking when I moved here where there are no kids? And this area is not at all safe other than Kishore Kishori Mandir. They're shooting gangs. And I said, man, why did I get my four-year-old into such an unsafe, unfriendly, lonely place? And I didn't understand this till he grew to... He was four when we moved here, and only when he was 10, he verbalized it. That how sad he was, and how upset and angry he was that we made the choice. My heart broke. I said, it was such an obvious thing. What was I even thinking? You know? So the first act, then I went through the self-judgment that I'm a bad mother. Bad parents, not just mother. I blame my husband too for this. So I won't take the whole blame. We were bad parents. And my parents were very upset. But I completely, I know they're listening. But at that time, I very arrogantly, you know, rejected what they were saying. And it hurt them very badly because they were concerned for my well-being and my son's well-being. I had so many self-judgments. But I didn't know what to do with. There was a guilt. Because spiritual master wants you to do this, and how can you not do this? You know, so I was torn between being a mother and being a disciple. At that point, it was a conflict. But then when I did this whole process, I realized that it was a choice I made, and the choice was, the right choice. I wanted to serve. And my reason was I really love Kishore Kishori. And I could see how hard Maharaj was like working in Chicago to create this community. And I wanted to be a contributor, do my little part like the squirrel in Ramayana, you know, do my little thing. So that was a good intention. That was nice. So then it started my journey, like, you know, but I'm feeling frustrated and why I was feeling frustrated. So we went through the process of, he doesn't have friends, put him in school. Oh, financially it's a little bit hard because we are putting him in private school. So my husband said, I need to start my own business. And then he had to quit being the temple president. So we had to make the right choices when you know what the need is. And Maharaj completely supported all these decisions. It was all in my head that Maharaj will not support, and Maharaj what he will think, because those are my judgments. Those were not Maharaj's judgments. But it took good 5 years to come to this place, you know. So we all are maybe in situations, we make a choice, and at one point we may feel stuck and we may regret making those choices. And sometimes we hear, especially in the temple situation, you know, sometimes, you know, they may not want to do something, but the temple president says, no, you should do this. You have no choice. And then how do you reconcile with that? So the thing is, and then as a grihastha, you know, sometimes, you know, man, you get married, and then after 20 years you think, man, why did I even marry? You know, I was better off not being married, like, you know, all the responsibility. Oh, my husband is here. I didn't realize that. 27 years, what was I thinking? So... But the thing is, we made those choices, and, you know, and we know in our heart they were not wrong choices. But it's just that as time, you know, as we go along with our life, you know, we didn't pay attention to the needs that came about, that came up. We didn't pay attention to that. So every time we feel that we have to do something or being asked that we don't want to do, it is worth going and saying, why am I resisting? Where is that resistance coming from? And if you address that, then you'll never feel that the choices we made were really wrong choices. Sometimes we do make wrong choices. And it's okay to acknowledge that you made the wrong choice. You don't again attack yourself, but you look at yourself with empathy. Okay, I made the wrong choice. So what options do I have? And the option is, go and, you know, we have our spiritual master, mentors, whoever, go and sit down with them and ask them, you know, okay, now where do I go with this? But we don't have to be in a stuck position and feel frustrated. That's my point. Okay, let's start with part two today. Ah, yes, we are still in part one. Yeah, where is the mic? Giridhari. Just write a small piece of note, even if it's on the phone, just give it to him like this.
So while you're going to part two, in the previous slide, reminded me of Bhagavad Gita chapter 2.
Okay.
So I want to share a sloka from there. So it is 2:15. It says, Yam hina vyathayanti ete purusham purusharshabha samasukha dukham dhira so amritatvaya kalpate.
See, he's my better half. Because he can connect in what I'm doing with...
good looking one, but that's okay.
Oh yeah.
The contributing to life, because that was the line, right? One should contribute to life. So amritatvaya kalpate means life is eternal and one is contributing to that if one side by side, along with all the regrets and this and that, also has samadukha, sukha, that there is the other part that one is joyful about. So that verse actually, in a practical sense, has this application.
2:15. All of you write on your thing. You know, if you doubt, like, you know, shastrically, how is this point supported? 2:15. All these years, I can still never memorize verses or where they come from. I just understand the essences of things. So that's why he's my better half. Okay, the next slide, you know, translating have to choose to. So all the, okay, Shatarupa is writing. You could go to the next step, 1, 2, 3, we don't have time, so. If somebody wants to click a picture, and because I'm going to go really fast, so. So this is the process. So the list, remember I told you to write, so you can take pause here for, you know, 2-3 minutes and just write 3 or 4 things where you feel that I should do this or I must do this, I have to do this, you know, 1 or 2 things. Oh, I have to cook every day. Not everyone feels like that. I do feel, I've been feeling this for 20 years. And it's my mother's curse too. So things like that, just identify 2 or 3 things. Is everyone done at least writing 1 or 2 such statements? So now what you need to do is go through step 1, 2, 3. So I was writing the clinical report. Remember the example of clinical? Oh, great, Jai. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. So the step 1, remember the clinical report about Marshall we talked? He's a clinical psychologist and he's supposed to be writing these reports. And he hated writing those reports. And one day he just asked himself, why am I doing this if I hate it so much? And then he realized that the underlying need was that by writing these reports, he felt were really not benefiting his clients either. So the underlying need was that he gets paid for that. So when he understood that the money was the thing for him, motivation for him to do this, but nothing else, it was not really contributing to his growth or, you know, about his life, he decided, oh, I'll find some other creative ways of, you know, earning than writing these dumb clinical reports. So that is the example I'm referring to when I'm talking about the step one, step two, step three. So when you list all the things, we did that. Now step two, after completing your list, clearly acknowledge to yourself that you're doing these things because you choose to do them, not because you have to. So insert the words I choose to in front of each item you listed. It's okay, just do it. I'll tell you the next thing. Right, like I gave the, like, instead of I have to, change that to I choose to, whatever that was, okay? So basically you're just acknowledging, okay, right? At this stage you're just acknowledging. Then step three, after acknowledging that you choose, oh, should I go to step three or give you one more minute? Okay, one more minute. You're ready, Giridhari? No, okay. Then I'll give you a few minutes. I have to be nice to him. He did the difficult part. Okay, so when you have done this, everybody's present or? I request that whoever is sitting in this room not have personal conversation. That was one of the values, yeah. Thank you, Shatarupa. One of the values that we promise to uphold is that we will not have personal conversations. We will all be present in the room, you know, no personal conversations, and we'll be in this room. Sorry, it's distracting. Thank you. So, okay, if you can not, okay. That's okay, that's okay. So step three, so now after you've written, I choose to do this activity, ask yourself how much of it you really feel that you're comfortable with that statement that I choose to do this. And if it is, like the example I gave is I have to cook. And then in my mind I went through, I choose to cook, and I asked myself, how do I feel about that? And then I went to the need. And I asked myself, what is the need and the value in this activity? And the need was, my husband and my son, they love to eat. Whole day they talk about eating. And they're very happy. You know, they're very, very easy to please. You know, you give them good food and they're very happy. So the value is for me, their happiness. So it doesn't mean that, you know, when you do some activity, when you understand the need, it doesn't mean that you'll have challenges or you won't, work hard or anything. No, know you have to work hard, and but if you know the need, then there is a joy in, you know, doing something that may not be like truly your nature to do. So for me, and I cook for 2 years, 5 days a week, 5 days a week, Kishori Rajbhog. And I used to always think, Krishna, this is a good joke on me. Like, you know, I run away from cooking and you keep giving me cooking projects, you know. But there was this, externally I keep joking about this thing that I don't like to cook, but underneath that I do it every day and happily I do it. Because the value that I see in it, even though I sometimes feel, you know, stressed out, it's okay, but there's a joy. I am going towards life. It's growth for me, because what is the value of my husband and my sons, you know, that smiling and happy, content faces they have. And when my son goes and tells my mom, who is an amazing cook, you know, he goes and tells her, my mom is the best cook, you know, and she says, only if I had ever tasted her cooking, you know, but my mom can't believe that. So that's the joy, not because he's satisfying something, but I carry the value, I carry the happiness that gives these two people in my life. But when you choose to all the statements that you feel right now have to, and if you can't find a value or a need to it, then you need to ask yourself, do I really need to do this? And ask yourself how you can meet that unfulfilled need or value in something else. So you don't have to be stuck. You're understanding this? Okay, same example of my cooking. There are days when I really don't feel like cooking, even though I understand the value and I understand the need, whatever. Fortunately, I have a husband, and my son has taken after his father. They both like to cook. So I don't force myself to cook when I don't want to cook. There are some days when I have other things which is overwhelming. Then I ask them, you know, I don't feel like cooking today. Can you cook? A creative possibility. So they cook. So I don't get overwhelmed or stuck. So sometimes, this is just an example, but when you do something, that when I said, like, I choose to do something and still it doesn't feel good about it. You don't feel good about it and you feel that, like I gave the example of this devotee who, when he came to the temple, was super excited. You know, he had certain needs and values at that time that got fulfilled when he came to the temple, and he started growing and evolving, and you know, things were changing for him. And after some years, he realized that, I think my needs and my values are not getting fulfilled now here. It's not that he made a wrong choice. That was the right choice for him. It saved him from a lot of things that, you know, he would have hurted himself or he would have done. So now he has made a choice to change his circumstances and be in a different situation. He didn't have to continue being like that. So not always when, you know, are you getting my example in this devotee's example? In my example, I don't mind continue doing that because I'm still getting joy and I'm going towards life. But this devotee, when he made, you know, he's not able to see that he's able to move towards life and, you know, contribute to his life. He's feeling stuck. When you're feeling that, it's better to change. And you understand that this is not a choice for me at this point of my life. Find an alternative. Is that clear? Clear? Yeah, that's the step three. That's the step three. You do that and then you are... Okay. I cannot be, have to be conscious. And if you don't understand, don't worry. You come and talk to me personally afterwards. Okay, we'll do one quick example so everybody knows. Yeah, maybe I should just block my... Okay, so there is an example, Satarupa, you can go to the slide 19. What is the next one? Oh, this is the 19. The example one. Yeah, go to the example. Okay, Bhakta Dan tried to acquire money from his brother for the $25 he had agreed to share for the birthday present he got for their mother last month. So this is an example. So we'll go to the next slide. I would have gone this more slowly, but we'll just rush because Maharaj is going to come. It's 12 o'clock. So let's identify what is Bhakta Dan's need. So he wants to ask his brother to pay his share of $25 for the gift they both had decided to buy for their mother. So Dan's need, the first, equity and balance. So that was his need. And what was that? Dan wants equal contribution from his brother for the gift. Because, Two, reliability. Dan wants to know he can count on agreements being followed through because his brother made a commitment and he wants to make sure that his brother keeps the commitment of giving his share of $25. And there was a third reason or the need, and the third was connection. He wants to connect with his teacher to express his gratitude by giving her a gift. Because that $25, he had an idea how he would like to spend, because he wanted to make, buy a gift for his teacher as a gift of gratitude. So these were his needs, or the needs behind he asking his brother to keep the commitment of giving the $25. So the next thing. So what are the possible strategies now that he identified his needs? What are the possible strategies to meet these needs? For the first one, equity, he felt now I need to express his need for balance and ask his brother if he's willing to take their mother to the next two doctors' appointment. So basically the brother pays for whatever, the co-pay or whatever he needs to pay. So he does his part. Okay, he didn't give $25 towards the gift, but okay, you take mom now. And you do that. So then he feels it's fair. Two. Express his need for reliability and explore with his brother how he can increase Dan's trust in counting on him for following through. So he sits down and he expresses, hey, you made a commitment, but you didn't give your $25. So what can we do together so next time, I can trust that when you say something, you'll follow through that. Instead of just feeling it and keeping it inside. Just express that. C. Address his need for connection by finding something special to offer his teacher that doesn't cost money. Sometimes you can give gifts which don't cost any money. So is this example... Okay, so if somebody wants to, because I'm going a little fast, you need to process or indeed take a picture. You can go home, think through, this could be an example. You want to take a picture? Okay, I'll keep the slide. Keep the slide, somebody wants to take a picture.
So actually I was going to do,
the next slide. Done taking pictures? Okay. So cultivating awareness of the energy behind our actions. Remember, we talked that mourning, self-forgiveness, and the energy. You have to follow all these three steps for the act of self-compassion. So, as we explore the statements, I choose to blah, 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 because I want blah, 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 we will discover important values behind the choices we have made, right? So, one, for some of the items on our list, we may uncover one or several of the following motivation. This is just a guidelines for you people, when you go back home and you're doing this. So, for money, one reason could be money. Money is not a need, it is one of the countless strategies that may be selected to address a need. Does everybody get this point? Yes? Okay. Two. For approval. Very common thing, right? We want to get other people's approval. We may do things to get people to like us or avoid things that may lead people to dislike us. we get addicted to getting a smile, pat on the back, or people's verbal appreciation to feel that we are good person. And believe me, if you do this, do you think we are actually going to be happy or satisfied? No. There's something outside of us. So it's very important that we understand what the value, why that need is there, or why that, you know, why, if we know, then we'll stop doing this, looking outside of us for approval for our self-image, you know. Next slide. To escape punishment. Oh, this paying income tax to avoid punishment. So the example Marshall gives is that in the present, like, you know, now we all pay taxes because we don't want to get into trouble. But we think Uncle Sam is totally unfair, you know. They're just taking our money, swindling and blah, 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 blah. But he was explaining when his apparently his grandfather was an immigrant from, he migrated from Russia. So his grandfather and father, they look forward to giving income tax, you know, because they felt that this country, this government is so nice because they were on welfare. So they said, I benefited, you know, we benefited from that money that the government took, you know, and they served us. So now it's our responsibility to give the government the money so they can take care of other needy people, because the czars didn't take care of us. So their reasoning was very different, but most of us don't feel that anymore. We feel it's a punishment. So we have to ask ourselves, like, you know, when we make those choices, is it coming from the place of, you know, the fear of being punished? Like, if I don't chant my 16 rounds because I took a vow, Krishna is going to punish me now, and now some trouble is going to come in my life. You know, I've heard people say these things. I'm not making it up. Believe me. See there. My Shastra. So, this thing. Okay, the fourth. Hare Krishna. To avoid shame, there are some tasks we choose to do just to avoid shame. We know if we don't do them, we will end up suffering severe wrong self-judgment. Hearing our own voices tells us there is something wrong or stupid about us. This is so common. At least for me, I used to do this a lot. Five, to avoid guilt. If I don't do this, people will be disappointed in me. How many of us? I don't want to, don't raise your hands, but I know that at least I have gone through this phase in my life. We are afraid we will end up feeling guilty for failing to fulfill other people's expectations of us. Yes. Oh, me too. Two of us. Yeah, yeah. You have to be on the... No, I'm thinking, how did I...
I was just asking if these are, like, if this was a list of motivations that we shouldn't have.
We shouldn't have. Yeah, sorry. So we are basically becoming aware of, you know, the energies we are carrying when we're making a decision. So these are some of the... When you start doing this, so many else will come up. I just picked up some most common one, like, you know, that...
So...
There's one more section in this chapter which I'm not touching because it's very deep again, so I just am leaving. But this is my conclusion statement. Very beautifully written. The summary of the entire presentation that I did, part one, part two, is the most crucial application of nonviolent communication may be in the way we treat ourselves. When we make mistakes, instead of getting caught up in the moralistic self-judgments, we can use the process of non-violence mourning and self-forgiveness to show us where we can grow. By accessing our behaviors in terms of our own unmet needs, the impetus for change comes not out of shame, guilt, anger, or depression, but out of genuine desire to contribute to our own and others' well-being. we also cultivate self-compassion by consciously choosing in daily life to act only in service to our own needs and values rather than out of duty for extrinsic rewards or to avoid guilt, shame and punishment. If we view the joyless acts to which we currently subject ourselves and make the transition from have to choose to, we will discover more play and integrity in our lives. And then this way one day we will be, we will be able to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is my thing, you know, something like this I would like to stick on my mirror on a wall where I can read every day to remind myself. So I already printed. If you want to do that, you can do it and we can. So I'm opening up. I may not have all the answers, but I'll try to answer to the best of my understanding on the subject. Yes. Yeah. You make my presentation very authentic, very Krishna conscious.
Can you go back one slide? The first part where it says, the most crucial application, etc. By accessing our behaviors in terms of our unmet needs, the impetus for change comes not from this, but for the genuine desire to contribute. The verses that Maharaj spoke on, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano, that's that verse there, where Lord Brahma is not beating himself down with guilt or shame for having tested Krishna's potency, but he says, whatever happens, happens, but if I, from here, choose to use my mind, body and words in your service, then I become the rightful inheritor of ultimate life.
Thank you. And what's the verse number?
10.14.8.
Srimad Bhagavatam. Of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can. I'm sorry I went very fast. Do you still want to, we have 20 minutes. Do you still want to do the group exercise that I first thought we can do, but I said no because we don't have time. You still want to do? So we go back, each group, like form a group of 4 or 5 and take a scenario, like, you know, like the polka dot, like example I gave, and go through the, can you go to the slide so they can refer to the, and go through that. It can be any example. Okay, you can practice. It's 12:07. We will do till 12:20. Then I'll take 5 minutes for any questions or any comments.
subjected.
We have 1 more minute. Okay. 30 seconds, okay. Hey. Okay, 30 seconds done. You can continue while others get. So how was this exercise? Did it help? Did it like kind of get your, like what of your understanding? You want to ask something? Okay. Yeah, microphone because people are online listening, so. Okay, we are all back into our common space and common.
Okay, so me and Montaji, we
closer, closer.
Me and Montaji used an example that would be like super relevant for devotees. So, in one way, it was beneficial, but in another way, I guess I would have to practice at home for more intimate, personal things that are more so like in the heart, right?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. So, did everybody understand how they can, the C, the D together become E? Okay. Yes. Microphone to Rasika Manchuri. Oh, okay, wait. Paramatma Prabhu has a question and then he'll come there. Keep it short.
Mataji, it's not a question like, should we say this, what we have done the exercise, or I don't know, I was trying to ask that.
You choose.
I can share, Mataji, if you
allow. Okay, then hold on. Let her ask a question, then you can share. Yeah. Should is a banned word in this presentation. Yes.
I'm not, okay. It's a question and something I wanted to share. So The point that I liked while doing it is to realize that
children are cute, but it's the responsibility of the adults not to get distracted. Oh. Yes, Raju. You can smile, Raju. I'm not going to stop you. Yes, Rasika Manjri.
So I found it's helpful for me personally or any individual to go through their own feelings and resolve self issues and how one may relate to another. However, I'm feeling maybe I don't understand how this can be applied properly, or I need to understand how this can be applied properly so that one in a community, individuals are not just working on just their selves, because that can lead to a separation of the community, but using something like this where it's working together. Because this seems to be very introspective, and if I can go through this and I understand the creative solution and I can meet my needs, but, and then I can just take care of that little aspect.
Yeah, what you're saying is it can be very self-absorbing than being something like being less sensitive to what the needs of the community will be, because ours is more like we are part of a community. And actually, if you look at all the quotes that I've gone through, Marshall constantly says the growth, one's own growth and the growth of the community. He doesn't tell that you just take care of your needs, but by doing this, you are also conscious. Like his own example, he had a need to take care of his needs and like, you know, his values. But he didn't say that because I ignore that I'm going to now not take care of the needs and of, you know, what the group wanted from him. He said by me recognizing what my need is and what my feelings are, I'm better capable of, no, she's fine. She's just fine. She's he became a better instrument in serving the others. So if you actually apply this process, it will not be so self-absorbing. It will be more like you will learn to not only take care of what you need to do for yourself, but you'll be actually able to take better, you know, care of others also. Maybe you and I can talk personally because of time limitation. I will talk with you so you can understand. See, there was this one group asked me, like, they felt something, they felt the need, they understood the feelings and the needs when they did the self-judgment. And then when they went to the empathy side, basically they wanted self-respect, right? That was the word, self-respect. So they were saying, how do now we connect the two, you know? So basically I said that we can recognize, acknowledge that I have this need, that I act in a particular way because I have a need, I have a particular need. And when that need is not met, I react in a particular way. So you become conscious of that. And the empathy part is that what can, like, you know, what is the feeling, like, you know, that in the originally what I wanted that triggered that behavior. And then when you know both the things, the C and the D, in the E part, what you do is you understand that in the future, whenever this value of mine is threatened or not understood, I react in a particular way. And this is a pattern for me. She's fine. She's just fine. So, I will react in a particular way. So now I know that this is the value I carry and it's very important. And if I don't want to act and, you know, continue with the pattern, let me sit down with whoever it is and come up with some creative solution of how I can resolve that, and, you know, so that I can be heard. That was one of the things. I want to be heard. So that's what you do. This process should not make you selfish, actually. This process will make you very... It needs to make you compassionate towards yourself and compassionate towards others, because then you will understand that others are going through the same process that you are going through. So you will be more tolerant and you will, like, you know, be more considerate. So it should actually, if it's done nicely, I'm hoping that it will get people more closer than to become like this. Paramatma Prabhu. As soon as Maharaj comes, I have to stop no matter who is talking.
Hare Krishna Mataji, we took one example and tried to put them in these boxes. First thing is, as a Bhakti Vriksha facilitator, he goes to somewhere else and gives Bhakti Vriksha. The observation is, he was catering the needs to answer the questions of the members and got delayed and came back very late. Slept very late, could not get in the morning, cannot... Okay. Did not do the rounds in the morning, which he is supposed to do. So he missed out of that. So the second box, self-judgment. How can I be so insensitive to my time? How can be I so careless about my next day chanting? That's my feeling. That's very bad on myself. And the box number C is the feelings is... Feeling bad that I could not be very sensitive. And the need is spending time for myself and for my family and chanting my rounds properly next day, not disturbing my sadhana. And this particular D, empathy. Empathy says that caring of Bhakti Vriksha members is important, for which I was extending my time. That's the empathy. Now the solution is, my need is also to put myself properly in my sadhana. However, this activity of Bhakti Vriksha taking, I disturb myself. The solution is, I would put a threshold time that by this particular time, 10 p.m., I'll not entertain any further questions. However, I will make a note of all those people, hey, you all have questions, we will have a follow-up call, give me questions in WhatsApp or in phone, we will talk on some other days.
I would go one step further.
Yes, Mataji.
If you, because you're a Bhakti Vriksha facilitator, and also it's all about relationships. Just don't tell I have a threshold in this. Explain to them. You know, I really would love to be with you and answer your questions right now. But my reason is that for me to do that service for you, I have to have my own strong grounding in my practices. So for me to go home and sleep and get enough rest so I can chant and do that, give the reason, then it's more personal. When you don't, then it's almost like you cut them and they feel hurt.
Yes, Mataji.
So that's the point to Rasika Manjari, is like, you know, when you're doing that, it's not about just us, but you still, like, you have to
care about others.
Yeah, you have to, because devotee relationships are the most, in the morning class also Maharaj was addressing, right? They are the instruments, and, you know, for us to be Krishna conscious.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Okay. Somebody else had a quick hand before Maharaj comes down. Who had the hand up and I said? Yeah. Maharaj is here? No, it's Giridhari. Yeah.
I'm having the big concern about, I mean, what Rasika Manjari Mataji brought, Mataji. Because from the, if you take the child and parent example, child, you know, may not like to do so many things, but certain things, whether he likes or not, if he continues, it's good for him. So that's a concern I have, like when we try to apply in our life, and we might lose that welfare option if we just stick to the, like, what I, you know, what I know is the, what I do, that's all.
See, in the situation of children, you have to be a little bit more creative in how you apply this, what, you know. And the creativity is that you have to first be in check before you tell the child that it must do something or it needs to do something, because children need to be trained, right? So they need to know, they don't know how to discriminate what is good for them and what's not good. You have to teach them. But you have to keep check on the energy and the motivation with which you're showing that compassion towards the child. If the motivation or the energy or whatever you're carrying is, you know what, I'm the mom, you know what, you better listen to me. That's it. You're doing disservice. But you're coming from, you know, when the child triggers you and you ask yourself, like, you know, I'm getting triggered. What is my need and what is my feeling? And you go through the whole thing. Then you are more in an instrument. Because you're taking responsibility for your own feelings. You're not dumping it on your child by yelling and screaming and blah, 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 blah. You know, you understand? So, in children, this needs a lot of personal conversations also, because I'm touching in a very general way. And many of our challenges are more at a personal level. And I'm not the expert, but I'm more than happy to sit down with you and help you understand the process. You can always call me. If I don't pick up your call, leave a text and hear my voicemails. So, or send me an email, I'll respond. But I'm more than happy, because my teacher, Krishna Leela Mataji, is always available. And that was my biggest gift Krishna has given me, my spiritual master, her association. So I never tell people no if they want to reach out to understand something. I'm busy, but I'm not too busy, you know. So I'll make time and I can help you understand how to implement these things in your practice, day-to-day practice. Thank you all very much. You all have been wonderful participants. And you have been very encouraging and kind upon me. So, and like I said, I'm not a perfect, I'm still learning all this. So in my presentation, if you didn't understand something, it's my flaw, you know, in understanding the subject matter. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Great time. You missed a good time. Next time. Next year. Okay. So, you're not tired? You're ready to go the final stretch? So the final stretch is, I brought some paper in case you don't have some paper, but it looks like you already have some paper. If you could take 4, 5, 6 minutes and write down anything that you'd like to have discussed, question, answer session. It's quite okay if it's not on topic. I'm used to it. But if it's on topic, that's much better. What we've been discussing, always remember Krishna, like that. So, are you ready? Any questions, what we're doing right now for the next 5 minutes? You need some paper. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.